My talk's going to be hopefully quick, because I'll tell you up front, again, like Tony's presentation, not all of our data came out together, but we're looking at cheatgrass control strategies in the Intermountain West, working with some of our researchers at our sister lab, the Construction Engineering Research Lab, and Dustin Kafka from Camp Guernsey. If anybody's been in the West, they've heard of cheatgrass or Bromus tectorum. This is a very nice field of it right here. The problem is it's a winter annual, comes up really fast, and it's a prolific seeder. And it burns really nicely. Once it burns, we have increased erosion, habitat loss of some of the natives. And for our aspect, being the Army, we have decreased training opportunities. So the Army has a few things. They want the fixes to be cheap. They want them to be effective and not interfere with training. So in this project, this is I believe a four-year project. We're in our second year of it. The first part of this project was to give something to the installation so that they have a light at the end of the tunnel that says, hey, they've worked here for a year, I've got some results. So our first objective was to look at how does different soil types and training regimes, if you will, impact cheatgrass. So we simulated some training events using herbicides and tillage because they're using a weapon systems called the Paladin, which is it's a howitzer mounted on tracks. So it basically tears up the soil. Now, a farther on objective of this is to look at this ecological bridge technique that we've used at Guernsey, we've used at Yakima, but we want to get into the nitty gritty. We know it kind of works, but what we don't know is why does it work? Is there a microbial interaction going on, or is it just the overcompetitiveness of the various species? So we're trying to, in the next 3 years, we're trying to elucidate what is it? Is it microbial or plant? And to give you a little background on Camp Guernsey, it's a 43,000 acre facility. Gets 13 inches of rainfall a year. The facility is this outer edge here. Now they did just add a huge section of land that was primarily grazed. It was a ranch that the Army National Guard has taken over. And like I said, it's a multi-purpose range because they're training the National Guard troops to come in and get ready to go to war. So there's armor, there's infantry, and there's aviation. So any day there could be any number of training activities. Now what we did for our initial setup is we picked three locations across the facility where we had two different soil types, and then the third was on their new lands. And we put in a no treatment control. We applied herbicide plus tillage at the opportune time so that we tilled first, waited till there was regrowth, and then applied the herbicide, and then also did just a tillage treatment. Now the tillage treatment is to look like it was trained on with their paladins or whatever armored you really have. So it's randomized complete block with three replications and three locations. Now this location on the left was a northern site. It's a siltier soil. The area on the right is part of their new gray rocks, which has been heavily grazed for the past 50 years, I believe. In October of 2008, we came back and on each of our treatments, we put in a split plot of different species combined with Siberian wheatgrass. The first six are the individual species, and then 7 to 11 are those same cultivars or mixes, because Guernsey has their own mix that they seed across the whole facility. That mix with Siberian wheatgrass, which is our introduced plant material. And then we also have a non-seeded control within this, because we want to look at all the various communities across the facility. Now for our sampling, we went in, we collected soil samples for, of course, chemical and physical properties. We've done this at each sampling period just to try to get a handle on what is happening nutrient-wise, soil moisture-wise, that type of things. Then we're also looking at specific soil microbial samples next to a plant and away from a plant. And we've taken multiple samples within the plots to try to understand what's happening at the root interface and away from the root interface. And then we've also done plant cover estimates with a point frame. One researcher is looking at rapid assessment techniques, which would be Mike tonight, looking at taking a picture. Is that as good as doing the point frame? Because I don't know if any of you have sampled, but point frame sampling takes an awful lot of time. So this could be a way of allowing a land manager to go out to a site, take some pictures, and assess how damaged that area is after training, and does it meet a period where they need to come in and fix it. That's kind of future stuff, but we've looked at that here, and then we've also done standard Dobbin-Meyer frame. Now what I want to do is I'm going to take a little bit of the point frame data from site one, because Mother Nature didn't agree with us, and that's the only place we actually got cheatgrass growing. What we found is in the first year, the first sampling, which is right, the blue bars, is that, of course, where we had tillage or herbicide, we had the best control. Over time, our cheatgrass levels built up again in these areas. So we had regrowth in the areas. If we go back and look at bare ground, we're getting the same relationship. Where we've had tillage and herbicide, we have more bare ground, more likelihood of erosion. And that carries through until the spring of this year, where basically our tillage and our herbicide and tillage are back to the equivalent of the controls, which we would expect because we planted into them last fall. And again, the same 4% litter. For the digital assessment, this is kind of our highlight where it's actually worked very well. Mike was able to show that if he went out and snapped a picture, he can take a digital overlay. These are the plants that they found here. And using a color gradation, we can tell what percent cover is there. And it is directly related to the point frame data that was taken at the same time. So if you look over the entire experiment, over all locations for this sampling date, they're moderately correlated with an R squared of 0.78. And when you compare them to the soil treatments, there's no difference. So the values that we're able to get with the digital assessment are the same as the point frame. Now the point frame, we took between 120 and 200 points per plot each sampling. Mike took 10 photos with a digital camera per plot. So there's a massive time saving ability with the digital assessment. So again, the conclusions with the digital assessment, the covers were highly correlated, and the estimates by soil treatment. The big thing for the Army is it's a heck of a cost savings. And we're going to continue to do these analysis and hopefully have a valid method in the future. For the point frame, control plots were significantly higher levels of treat grass for all sampling periods. We expected that because we didn't do anything to the controls. Those were true controls. Tillage and herbicide plots had, of course, higher bare ground initially and lower percent cover, which we expected. In the future, we're going to resample all the seeded plots because this year was really establishment. And next year, we'll actually have our competitive measurements, and we'll be doing completing the soil microbiology. We had a issue with that it didn't get completed in a timely fashion. So hopefully next time we'll actually have microbial data. Have any questions? I know I went through that kind of quick, but.
Yes. What is the nature of your microbial work? What methods are you using?
Can you answer that one, Tony? I'm not sure because that's another.
There's two things. The resospeel work that Dick and Ryan are doing, and then there's the general bacteria counts in the soil that we're trying to see.
I believe they're looking at bacteria. And then mycorrhizae, is that yours?
That's right, mycorrhizae.
In concert to try to get an understanding of what are they doing at given sampling times.
Quick question. On your digital method, I noticed in the picture you showed there was a large percentage of bare ground. And a lot of your data shows that there's quite a bit of bare ground. Have you tried this method in something like that? Tall grass prairie, because I would caution its effectiveness when you get into a system where you've got very little bare ground, litter upon litter layer that's just piling up, and hundreds of different species, like in Fort Worth, Texas prairie.
Yeah, I think it's going to work well in the semi-arid environment where you have less biomass. Or in an area where it's been heavily grazed. So down in Texas on Fort Hood, where they graze it to death, it would probably work well there. It's probably not going to work well to go out to an agricultural field and snap pictures just because of the biomass issues. You have to remember, we're looking at two different systems. You're looking at, you have prime agricultural, which being agronomist, that's what everybody focuses on. And then you have the military. And it's different. It's, you know, so we want to we're trying to make the land manager's job easier. And the applications won't work both ways. It's the same way with doing experiments, you know, agricultural experiments, you have these pretty little plots. Nobody drives through them, nobody digs them up, or usually they don't dig them up. But in the military, those plots could be there today and gone tomorrow because of the mission, the military mission. So it's, you have that to deal with too.
Yes. So I did some work with the military in Michigan, and it was an interesting conversation because the consultant told me, "Kay, I'm done if there's green on the ground." So your method here was attempting cheatgrass. I'm curious, even in this system, could you distinguish different species? Because that would be...
We didn't get that. Right now, the first step is to, can we tell whether it's green or brown?
It's got green on the ground.
Right, we have green on the ground, and in this situation, that's good. It would be nice to be able to do species, but I think that's probably going to be the next step up in digital imaging, and that'll probably be multi-spectral. Yes, sir.
The protocol that you used here seems, frankly, much the same as been used for decades in the Great Basin, and hasn't really worked. So what makes you think it's going to be successful for the mandate that you have here?
Well, I think the approach here is a little bit different because of the military's mission. They have to have plants that are going to survive. But when you're in agricultural fields, you're controlling everything and you're putting cost into it. The military doesn't want to put the cost in. They balk at $10 an acre. What we're trying to do is take some of the plants that were bred specifically for the military, which the Siberian wheatgrass we're using is one that we worked with the USDA folks out of Logan specifically for the military. It survives under tank traffic. That was one of our tests for it before we released it. And so it's those kinds of species that we're trying to utilize, which is a little different, you know, than what I think they've done in the Great Basin. Because we're aiming towards the military mission. Does that answer your question?
Well, it's kind of I think there are more layers to it, but that's okay. We can talk later.
Looking at its cheatgrass in its native habitat, is it a dominant species in its native? Maybe not. Why not?
It's dominant in sections of its habitat, and it probably has a lot to do with competition and, like you noticed, light. Because I think light is a big factor in its ability to get up, because it lights fire. And by having itself burn in mid-June when it's dry, you're cleaning out all the competition. Because the competition is not going to come back into that area when it's hot and dry. This then germinates in September, October, November, when it's cooler and a little bit of moisture. It germinates and comes up, and it's now got the competitive advantage of being able to shade out its counterparts. It's its own self-fulfilling prophecy, because it will burn and take everything out, you know, except for larger bushes, unless the fire is big enough. I mean, so it's clearing its own path, at least in the military aspect of it. So does that answer?
We should probably end it there so we can take lunch. Let's thank the speakers one more time. And
actually, before people walk.